1:10 of our Pew Bible. It's John 16, verses 5 through 15. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocates will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment about sin. Because they do not believe in me about righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer, about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you, and that the Father has is mine. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Diane. We celebrate today the birth of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We usually pick up Acts 2 and we read about that event, that at the appropriate appointed time that God, as the disciples were gathered together 50 days after the resurrection, suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came, and tongues as of fire rested on the heads of the disciples. And those who were not of the number of Christians but were around stood there and looked and saw and heard and seen all of these things and wondered what in the world was going on amongst these followers of Christ who had died. And with that, and in that spirit and the power, Peter stood and proclaimed that first gospel message. And 3,000 came to the Lord that day. The Holy Spirit had come. The disciples had been filled, who had been filled with fear, was now filled with the third person of the Trinity, who had come in Jesus' name to work in and through the church for God's purposes, bringing people to Christ. Making a fulfillment, or beginning the fulfillment of what Jesus had told the disciples the Holy Spirit would do. And it wasn't so much about the wind and the fire, the outward display. But what was it that changed the hearts and the souls and saved the lives of those 3,000 people? It was the proclamation of the gospel, witnessed to by the Holy Spirit. As we remember, as Peter proclaimed that this Jesus who was crucified, God has raised from the dead, that all who would call upon him and be saved, they hollered when they said, you delivered him to Pilate. You called for his death. What must we do? They cried out. How did they even know they needed to do anything? 49 days earlier, there was no remorse. It wasn't until Pentecost that there came remorse in the hearts of some of these leaders who had called for his execution. There was never an inkling of remorse in their whole soul, in their spirit, about anything they had done to Jesus. No, they thought they had won. Even when the claim of Jesus' resurrection hit their ears, they said, no, we'll pay you off to say that his disciples. But today, there was fear and trembling. Today, on that day, there was a different response from those who had just heard about the resurrection. On this day, there was something different. The Holy Spirit had come. And He came to witness of Jesus Christ. Without that witness of the Holy Spirit, the gospel is true, but no one can respond. Because they will not see how it applies. But when He has come, is the key, as Jesus indicates. When He has come, He will do three things to the world. He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, the Holy Spirit will only do these things as He finds someone like Peter filled with Himself, through which a proclamation will be made. But the Holy Spirit has not come to grant a lot of comfort to the world, but to grant hope. Not to comfort them in their sins, but to give them hope that they can find comfort in the forgiveness of their sins. But as we, the Church of Jesus Christ, remains faithful to the proclamation, oh, the world who does not want to hear will not receive the reality that sin exists, that righteousness exists, and that there is a judgment to come. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction into their hearts about all of these things. So the church should not set aside that proclamation, lest the Holy Spirit be hindered and the church quench the Spirit from doing that part of which He has come to do. Oh yes, the church will be accused of being self-righteous and judgmental and condemning and doing all of these things, but really, we're just being faithful. We're just being faithful. Yielding to what the Holy Spirit has come to do, that people might truly, who hear the reality, that there is sin, and there's an abundance of it in all of our hearts. But there is righteousness, which we really don't have any of as we are. And there is a judgment that is coming someday. These things must be acknowledged. So why? So people will feel bad about themselves? No, so that they can have their sins forgiven, so they can receive the righteousness of Christ, and so they can have eternal life, so that the judgment to come is not something they'll ever have to face. So that they can go on in the joy of the Lord rather than the ignorance is bliss concept that the world has. Don't tell me what I do wrong. Don't tell me that I'm doing anything wrong. Let me be ignorant of such things. My friend, love does not allow people to be ignorant of that which is coming if we know about it beforehand. And the Holy Spirit has come that we can tell them that message wonderfully, gracefully, sincerely, that salvation can be everybody's. For all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. This is the good news that the gospel presents. But that's not all the Holy Spirit has come to do. Even though on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls responded, being convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. What must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So simple. So true. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of eternal life and the Holy Spirit. Because when He has come, that's not the end of the tale or end of the journey. It's just the beginning. Because when He has come, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all the truth. Jesus said, there's things that I cannot tell you now. He told the disciples that there will come a time when the Holy Spirit comes. He will teach you of all things concerning Me. Ah, that wonderful third person of the Trinity now comes into full focus in the church. And in His disciples. And He said, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak in His own authority. He will do just as Jesus did when He was on earth. Remember when Jesus said, the words I say are not My words, but I only speak what I hear the Father say? My acts, My works are not My works. I only do what I see My Heavenly Father doing. And the Holy Spirit comes not to say His own words, but to hear what His Father, what the Heavenly Father is saying, and the Holy Spirit speaks. To see what the Heavenly Father is doing, and the Holy Spirit works. And this Holy Spirit, who will act just like Jesus did when Jesus was here, will take that which is Mine, Jesus said, and will declare that which is Mine to you. And everything that the Father has is Mine. Man, what a unity in this Trinity. You cannot hedge a bet one against the other. They are in such unity in the gospel of Christ, such unity in the person of Jesus. And that the Holy Spirit will come and glorify Me, for He will take that which is Mine and declare it to you. Why does the church exist? We exist to declare the glory of Jesus Christ and His gospel in words and deeds. The Holy Spirit has come to do these same things, to do these things, to enable us to do these. Not in such a way as to bring glory to ourselves, heaven forbid, but in such a way that will bring glory to Jesus Christ. For He is the one who has died for the sins of the world. Not the Father, not the Holy Spirit. Jesus has done that. Jesus is the one who was raised from the dead. Jesus is the one who ascended into heaven. Jesus with the Father has poured out His Holy Spirit to be glorified in this world through the church and into the world till that glorious day when Jesus returns and subdues all things under His feet. And at that time, Jesus will commit the kingdom back to the Father. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that should have just taken once and done 2,000 years ago. It is something that should be renewed and should be new every day. But down through church history, we see in our history times when there were great moves of God and times when the church went astray, just like Israel in the Old Testament. Ups and downs and ups and downs. But every time the Holy Spirit did something to bring us back to God, to renew our efforts and to renew our hearts for the glory of Christ and in the gospel of Christ and getting the Word out, it's always been because we got back into the Word. Always a return to the Word. A return to the Word is a return to the Holy Spirit, because it is that Word that we have right here that the disciples were led to write by the Holy Spirit. These were those things which Jesus said, I can't tell you now, but when the Holy Spirit comes, He will tell you these truths. He will relay these things to you. Thus we have the New Testament. And every time the church goes astray, it's because we neglect the Word. And every time it's brought back, there is a renewal of the Word, because that is that revelation which the Holy Spirit gave in testimony to Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, faithful servant of the Lord in the church, came up with grace only, through faith only, Scripture only. And with that, the great Reformation took place. A few hundred years later, in the 1700s, came the Great Awakening, because they had the church, having been awakened some through the Reformation, had again turned away. And then throughout the 1700s, with Whitfield and the Wesleys and any number of other evangelists preaching the Word, proclaiming the Word, the Holy Spirit responded to that Word and brought people around. And today in our, and again in the 1800s, there was a second Great Awakening, in which a similar, but to a lesser degree, there was a Great Awakening turning people to Christ. But it wasn't just people that came to Christ during these things. It changed society and brought the country back to Christ. Today we stand in great need, not just a revival of the church within the church, except in such a way that we will no longer hinder the Holy Spirit, but expect the Holy Spirit to do the things through us today that He did and has done for 2,000 years. That when we have lost our way, we get out of the Holy Spirit's way and allow the Holy Spirit to come and do His work without any objection to us. As Paul wrote and says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So many times we do. By going our own way. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He will take the things of Christ and proclaim them, bringing conviction from sin, conviction to righteousness, and conviction away from the judgment to come, because we have escaped. And everyone who hears the gospel has escaped the judgment through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no greater message than this. For the Holy Spirit has come to take these things and through Jesus' church bear witness to the reality not of Pentecost, but of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Do we expect the Holy Spirit to do His work today? Well, we really can't expect Him to do that. That was all right for then. This is what His work is. Can we expect Him to do no less today than He did back then? And if He's doing less today, let us not be a part of that, because His work is still the same, to glorify Jesus through His people in the proclamation of the gospel. Indeed, if we do not expect Him to do the same, we need to change our expectations and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work today as He did back then. For the Holy Spirit is as Jesus is, the same yesterday, today, and forever, for the glory of Christ and for the good of all who call upon Him. Let's let our expectations be guided by the Word, and let the Holy Spirit in power do those things today that He did and has done in the past. Let's open our hearts. Let's call upon that Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.